Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night makes you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you say, what made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smacked you down cause he said you was too tall for him, huh? That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could've killed you when you said your seed was growing from a
seed. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you when I kill you myself. You played with her like a doll and put her back on the shelf. Wouldn't let her go to school and better herself. She had a baby by your ass and you ain't giving no help, uh-huh. Big time hustler, snake motherfucker. One's born every day and every day she was your sucker. How could you beat the mother of your kid? How could you tell her that you love her? Don't give a fuck if she lived. She told me she would leave you. I admit it, she did. But came back, made up a lie about you missing your kids. Sweet kisses, baby, ain't even know she was your mistress. Had to deal with fist fights and phone calls from your bitches. Lost like you possessed her, telling me to mind my business. That it was her life and stay the fuck out of it. I tried and said just for him, I keep a ready clip.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you and I want you dead. Don't know the facts, but I saw the blood pour from her head. See, I lay down beside her in the hospital bed, and about 2 hours later, doctor said she was dead. Had the nerve to show up at her mother's house the next day to come and pay your respect to help the family pray. Even knelt down on one knee and let a tear drop. And before you had a chance to get up, you heard my gun cop praying to me now. I ain't God, but I pretend. I ain't start your life a nigga, I'ma bring it to an end. And I did, clear shots and no regrets. Never cops come and lock me under the jail. Nigga, whatever, my bitch, fuck that, my sister. You can never figure out, even if I let you live, what our love was all about. I consider her my blood and it ain't come no thicker.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find. And it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind.
Welcome, welcome to Blog Talk Radio tonight. This is your host, Raj, with you again this Sunday, with my co-host tonight, Mello, in the studio.
What's up, how you doing?
So we're bringing this to you live tonight. We want to talk to you ladies about a subject that's really, really, really important this month, especially in the media and in the news. But we want to talk about a little bit about abuse tonight. You know, signing up in a relationship, signing up to love somebody, but not becoming their doormat. Signing up to support somebody, but not becoming the other end of their fist. You know, it's real. It's real. It's a real tight subject. I'm looking forward to a few call-ins tonight. I have a special guest coming on tonight, a lady by the name of Sandra. She's going to talk to us a little bit tonight about some abuse and some things that we as women don't need to take, but we have taken. And don't get it twisted. Abuse isn't something that's subjugated just to women. You know, men are abused as well. So we're not closed-minded. This is a show, so you think you know what women want. We can tell you this, they don't want to be beat upside the head. So, Mel, you want to chime in a little bit, talk to us a little bit about your abuse and how you feel about it?
I can't say that I have any personal experience as far as, you know, being abused or being an abuser, but I know that abuse comes in many different forms. I mean, it's not just physical, it's emotional. You know, it's spiritually beating someone down, tearing down, you know, their person, and usually that's actually usually where it begins. You know, the person probably has low self-esteem, perhaps from the beginning, and perhaps they've attracted this type of person who is, you know, somewhat gives them what they think they need. You know, the song that we were listening to when it first came on was speaking to that exactly, you know, talking about being in love or what you think is love and not really being love. And, you know, so many times people get duped and they think and they start out, oh, okay, this is what I need because it's comforting some part of them. And so, you know, I think that, you know, we have to just be careful and be mindful and be aware of what's out there, who's out there, and aware of just who we are and you know, what it is that we want and project that and not that which we don't want. A lot of times we do that. We project that which we don't want because it's what's comfortable. So, you know, but anyway, I can ramble and go on and on and on.
Man, you hit some pretty important topics. Love shouldn't hurt. You know, it shouldn't be a painful thing. I can testify a little bit about abuse. I was in an abusive relationship before, and it wasn't so much physical abuse as it was mental. And to be mentally abused, to me, sometimes the blow is just as hard because you're putting a scar there that literally is there, and it's one that you don't see, so we tend not to treat those scars that we can't physically see, you know. So when we think about abuse and we think about coping with it and we think about love, I know for me, I had to love me more, you know what I mean? It's a point where I said, hey, I looked in the mirror, I'm better than this. I'm not perfect. No one is, but I know what I'm better than, you know. So all of me, you know, once I came to that understanding, then, of course, because I'm a woman of faith, you know, with prayer, you know, God showed me another way. He said, yeah, you're better than this. So, you know, now let's do something different. So as hard as it is and hard as it was, because like I said, we have scars. And if we don't deal with those scars and get some healing, you know, whether it's therapy, you know, whether it's just venting, having that best friend to talk to. You know, sometimes we know it's a little deeper than that. We may need a little clinical care. We carry that into the next relationship, you know. So tonight, you know, I want to open it up. We want to talk about abuse. In fact, we're going to be talking about abuse this month because this is a month, it's a domestic violence month. And in the news, we have so many stories of women being abused and hit, and you know, we have to come together, and this is a forum for that. So I'm going to open it up. We have a call to April on the line. And so, April, we're going to bring you in. April, are you there? Hello, April?
Hello.
Hey, welcome.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, this is Rash.
Hello. Hi,
how are you here?
We're good, we're good. Thank you for calling in tonight.
You're welcome.
You want to, this is a subject that you want to share a little bit about with the ladies tonight?
Yes, I can shed a light on the story of my friend. It was her kid, her daughter's father, and he just felt as though he wasn't ready to be a father, so he took her life. She was 15 years old, and their baby was it was her first Mother's Day, and he decided because he didn't want to be a father that it was okay for him to take her life.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. I mean, had he touched her before? I mean, was this a history? I mean, can you give us a little more about
this? And that's the thing. It wasn't even a history. They were together. She got pregnant around 8 or 9 months. They stopped dealing with each other. He felt as though he wasn't ready to be a father. And she said, you know, it's fine. She had my support and her family in her corner, so she really didn't need him for anything. So he was never abusive. You know, from our understanding, he was a great guy. He was, you know, into basketball. He was never, like, the violent type. But on Mother's Day, he decided to knock on her door and tell her that he wanted to talk about her and the baby and took her life behind the church.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. That's heavy.
Yeah. We are so sorry about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. When did this happen?
This happened in, I want to say, 2000.
Was this in the news? Did they tell us?
Yeah, it was in the news. They had it on the news. It was in the paper. Like, they didn't have any suspects at one point. But he was, for him not to be cold and never been violent, he was actually at her candlelight vigil the day that we were looking for trying to piece together of why would somebody do something like that to her. And he was there, like he was at the visual and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where is he now?
He's locked up. They gave him life, so he won't be coming out. Her daughter is now 11 years old. She just turned 12, as a matter of fact. And she's without a mother and a father. Because he didn't want to take the responsibility of having a baby. He took both worlds from her. He took him and her mother, so she has no one but her grandmother now.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that, but we're so are you there for her daughter? You're still keeping touch?
Yes, I am. Her name is Destiny. She's a really great kid. She's a really, really great kid.
Good, good. She's going to need you.
She's just like her father. She's just like her father.
Yeah. David might be short. She don't have to commit, though.
Wow. Wow. April, that's, we really appreciate that because that's a whole other side of abuse. We're talking about abuse where people have, you know, repeatedly over years, there's a history of abuse. You know, normally mm-hmm. the woman may have tried to get a restraining order. But
right.
You're telling us this is just like boom. You know, yeah. Man, that's tragic. That is mm-hmm. so tragic. Let me open up the line. We have another caller on. Stay with us though, April.
Okay.
Hey, I have another caller on the line. Welcome tonight. Hello, caller, are you there?
Oh, you're friends with me.
Right. I want to congratulate you, Raz, on doing an exceptional job. I also wanted to say that this is a very poignant topic that you are covering this evening. I've shared with the listeners on a many of occasions that I have been a victim of abuse, and I think that it's very important that we identify those signs as well as, you know, ask our community to be proactive in uplifting our community and stopping this epidemic. I wanted to speak specifically on the police and the way in which the police handle domestic abuse situations, particularly in same-gender-loving relationships. In my hometown of D.C., they have a practice that they can arrest both parties. So what happens is that we have, especially same-gender-loving couples, that won't call the police and won't speak out about the abuse that's occurring, so they don't want to go to jail. And so I wanted to lift that up, and I also wanted people to just be mindful that it's very important that you get help from somewhere, and that when you are ready, and those people who are your friends will support you until you are ready, and that when you are ready, you look for resources and you look for healing.
Yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night makes you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but them things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you stayed, what made you fall? Him. That nigga had the power to make you fall for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down cause he said you were too tall for him. That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could have killed you when you said that he was growing from his
demon. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind.
Myself. You played with her like a doll and put her back on the shelf. Wouldn't let her go to school and better herself. She had a baby by your ass and you ain't giving no help, uh-huh. Big time hustler, snake motherfucker. One's born every day and every day she was your sucker. How could you beat the mother of your kid? How could you tell her that you love her? Don't give a fuck if she lives. She told me she would leave you. I admit it, she did, but came back, made up a lie about you missing your kids. Sweet kisses, baby, ain't even know she was your mistress. Had to deal with fist fights and phone calls from your bitches. Lost like you possessed her, telling me to mind my business. That it was her life and stay the fuck out of it. I tried and said just for him, I keep a ready clip.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you and I want you dead. Don't know the facts, but I saw the blood pour from her head. See, I lay down beside her in the hospital bed, and about 2 hours later, doctor said she was dead. Had the nerve to show up at her mother's house the next day to come and pay your respect and help the family pray. Even knelt down on one knee and let a tear drop. And before you had a chance to get up, you heard my gun cop praying to me now. I ain't God, but I pretend. I ain't starting like a nigga, I'ma bring it to an end. And I did, clear shots and no regrets. Never cops come in like me under the jail. Nigga, whatever, my bitch, fuck that, my sister. You can never.
Me again. May I?
you back live today, tonight, this evening with us. So you think you know what women want? We're dealing with the abuse topic, not just women, but men also, especially with it being so heightened in the news right now. We're taking a look at the Ray Rice issue. I'm sure a lot of people are taking a look at that. Mel, what's your feelings on that?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. The Ray Rice issue is a very, very touchy issue, just simply because it not only involves abuse, but I think it also involves a bit of, I don't know what the political word would be, but a bit of hide your tail, or you know. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that not only did we have two issues. Not only did he, is there some sort of abuse issue here as to whether or not he hit her or he beat her in the elevator or what have you, but then we also have the issue as to whether or not he actually told the team his superior that he had actually had done this. And so the word is that he told him that he did
it,
and he was to reprimand him until after it came out in the news. And now once it's in the news, it's as though they're embarrassed and they feel as though they need to do something. I'm not saying that this excuses any sort of abuse that may have taken place at all, because abuse is wrong, and abuse is a bad thing. It's something that we don't want, something we don't need in our community, and it's something that we're definitely trying to educate one another on, so that we understand where it comes from, why it happens, and what it is we can do to get beyond it.
So it's like needing somebody so bad. We need that person so much that we're willing to become a punching bag. I'm willing to say, in order for you to feel better and for you to cope with whatever you're dealing with in life, I'm saying I'm willing for you to whip my ass every day. I'm willing to lay down and let you become, and I become the rug that you walk on. I'm your doormat now.
In essence, that's exactly what ends up happening, or what ends up being said, whether it's spoken directly or indirectly. You have the other issue at the end of the at the end of everything. Once this whole situation came out that he had actually beaten his wife or hit his wife or whatever the case may be, or his fiance rather, because this was prior to them being married, if I'm not mistaken, and then she married him anyway. And so her reason behind saying she was going to marry him anyway was because she felt responsible for him getting in trouble. In other words, she provoked him, or she felt some sort of responsibility for him being suspended and ultimately fired from the team. And that's just a whole other can of worms right there, because you're definitely talking about your self-esteem or the woman's self-esteem in this particular situation, because she felt low enough to publicly say,
oh, my God,
I am the reason that you beat my ass. Technically, sorry, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm playing a little devil's advocate here,
right.
That's the truth.
Right,
publicly the reason why you hit me. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so that makes me wonder. I mean, that sounds like she's used to abuse. You know what I mean? Because, like, for instance, like, I know I'm not the one. Like, you know, it couldn't have been me. Because we would have been boxing inside the
elevator. But we both would have come out with bruises.
But we both would have.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Broken arms, legs, and bruises.
No,
it's not going on like that.
Oh, my God. What I want to say real quick, too, is that's when you look at movies like, you know, it would have been an Ike and Tina Turner moment. You know what I mean? When she stood up. Or within that limo, and she whipped his ass. I mean, she gave him a run for his money, because at some point we have to say, enough's enough. You know, at the point of, you know, I'm going to whip your ass. You know, we're going to go back, and I'm going to handle this. You know, and then it brings up to mind, I'm sure we've all seen Julia Roberts, remember Sleeping with the Enemy, you know, and in the end she had to do what she had to do. She had to whip that nigga, that fellow's butt. Yeah, she's my, you know, the N-word, but anytime you're acting like that, that's what you become. You know, it's not a color, it's not a religion, but it's a thing. It's ignorance. You know. So she covered it. You know, and I think J Lo had a movie where she did it called Enough or something like that. And she went,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
And she beat that tail.
I was like, okay. And y'all know I love J Lo. Now I'm gonna tell you, who wouldn't love J Lo? J Lo is low. And she's all right with me. I've been watching like the Jello, J Lo. Okay, anyway. So, to keep it real, back on this thing, it's heartbreaking, you know. And I think that if more women come forward, you know, and talk about abuse and talk about being better than that, and it not being so hush hush in our communities, or not just in a person's current life. But if we look at that person's mother's life, a lot of times it's a generational thing. It's a thing where the grandmother was abused. And so you grow up and you think, this is the way women act. Bless you, man. This is the way it's supposed to be. You know, I saw my mama get hit. Mm-hmm. I saw my grandmama get hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or then, say, for instance, you know, you become the abuser.
Mm-hmm.
As abuser, you're a man. That's how daddy related to mama. That's love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to rip your ass and then we're going to have sex all night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good after the fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard women say, no, that's the best loving after. And, you know, and then Johnny comes and loves me up right. And they, I mean, it ain't nothing like makeup sex. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, come on now. You know, and so I think that if we come forward and start having more conversation, more dialogue like this, you know, I think that it provides therapy and help to a lot of women. Nobody deserves to be whipped.
Mm-mm, not at all, man. And listen, we want you all to feel free to call in. We need to go ahead and give you that number again. It's 646-787-8623. That's 646-787-8623. We want to hear from you all. We want you all to call in. Ladies, gentlemen, it doesn't matter. Boys, girls, please give us a call. And just, you know, give us some feedback. Tell us what you think. Tell us if you know of some good solutions, some things. You got some good recommendations because you've been through some stuff and you know some people that they can talk to or whatever the case may be. But just, you know, give us something. Come on, call in and let us know that you're out there listening and give us some support here and call on in and talk to us about what's going on in your lives. All right?
Yeah, so that's important. Let me just take a moment to just thank my producer, Simply Nay, for the opportunity and having this forum. You know, it's truly a blessing, 8 to 9, to get to come on and be able to share this with you ladies. We had a really, really great response last week on our topic. You know, last week we talked a little bit about how to navigate through a new relationship when the old relationship keeps calling. We had a caller, Majestic, a guest on last week. Majestic shared with us some of her wisdom and some of her experiences. And what was so funny is that the next day, Majestic hit me and she was like, look, the subject we talked about last night on the show, I'm dealing with it right now. How come my ex called me today trying to get back? You know, and so we were like, look at that. How ironic is that? You know, so this is a real show. It's a real forum. It's for you women. And, you know, so we look forward to the topics and hearing what you guys have to say. We have a caller on the line. I think this caller, can we hear from you? Hello,
Hi.
You're live. Hey, thanks
Hi.
For calling in.
How are you?
Good, good.
So I just wanted to call in and share my story of domestic violence really quick.
Okay.
So I grew up in a home, both of my parents were drug addicts, and I witnessed my biological father beating on my mother. And so I thought from an early age, love equals pain, because I saw my biological father tell my mother he loved her, but also put his hands on her at the same time. And even when my mother left my biological father and met my stepfather, she went through the same situation. It was a vicious cycle where she got into another situation where my father starting to put his hands on her as well. And because I saw that at an early age, I ended up getting in abusive relationships because I thought, again, abuse and pain equaled love. And it wasn't until I was around 22, 23, that I realized that the abusive relationship that I was in, that I needed to get out. And that's only because I had to call the police, and the police told me that he saw situations like this many times, and if I didn't get out, she was going to end up killing me because he's witnessed this situation before. And I had called police, and, you know, in the past, I had restraining orders, I had all of those things, but I always went back to abuse because that's what I knew from this one particular person. I felt like, you know, like you said, this makeup sex was good, like, you know, she had hit me or abused me and then had sex with me, so I felt like that's the way that it was supposed to be. And it didn't stop until I decided to love myself more than I loved her and more than the abuse.
Wow. And that is so very important, because without self-love, I mean, how can I go on to love anyone? Because if I'm going to settle for me, you know, which, I mean, the law of self-preservation, it's a very important law. You know, it's that thing that when somebody has their hand around your neck, it's that thing that makes you kick them in the balls. You know, it's that thing that makes you try to harm them back, you know, at the threat of your life. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I'm just like nonviolent. I'm all about the love, you know, but feeling threatened or at the point of someone coming at me, you know, I may kill you. So I don't want to have to be in that kind of situation. You know, and I think that it's unfair for people to put us in those situations, you know, where they're putting their hands on us. No one has the right to come into my personal space and put a hand up, put a finger up, or to degrade me or to make me feel less than, to keep me locked up in any kind of prison of pain, because I'm better than that. We have a caller that just called in. I'm gonna chime them in. Hello, caller. You're live.
Hello,
you're live tonight. Welcome.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, it's for sure.
I'm sorry. Just come back. I lost you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me? This is Prashana.
Hey, what's up, Prashana?
Hey, man. How you doing?
What's up, Prashana?
How you doing, baby?
Hey, I'm well. I heard the topic. I was like, oh, yeah, I definitely got to call in.
That's what's up. Talk to us.
Yeah, well, right now I'm just... you know, putting everything together from what I've heard. I just got out of work. The cycle of pain. You know, like once you get, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. Once you start to know somebody in a violent way, it's almost like trauma seeks an out. You know, so like it's like oh, I have a whole, like, you know, whatever trauma we had in the past, you know, where violence was a sort of comfort, you know, or something that we recognize. And it's like, I feel like in a relationship that we're in, once that happens and once that sort of that hole opens of possibly knowing somebody in that sort of negative way, then it almost becomes addictive, you know, and it starts cycling, you know, where it's like, you know, we might have these good spots, but eventually it's going to come back down to what's familiar, and it's that violent, that aggressive kind of way, kind of culture that we fell into. So it's interesting. It's really hard to get out of. You know, like some people who kind of didn't have that background, you know, a lot of times can look at it in, like, very simply, like, oh, it's negative, so just get out of it. You know, but when it triggers some trauma that we've had in the past. And it you know, it releases that, then our trauma wants to stay there because it's getting attention, it's getting released, you know. So it's wild. It's I'm glad you guys are doing this, you know, this topic. This is, it needs to be delved into very, you know, deeper, you know?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Wow.
Thanks, Michonne. You know, you definitely added a necessary component that we hadn't thought about. So thank you. And
thank you.
Thanks for calling in and sharing. And you know, as always, you are somebody in the community that I would say that people would be able to come to because of the things that that you've definitely been through, the things that you've learned, and then just your position in the community. I'm sure you have a lot of young women that you talk to on a regular basis that probably can benefit from your story and, you know, the things that you have to tell them that you've been through.
Yeah, I hope so, right? You know, making the village circle, because I know I definitely benefited from having a women's circle around me when I was, like, first entering relationships. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially, you know, particularly women that had been through similar things to, you know, to sort of guide me, you know, and it was a blessing, you know, to have those people in my life at a time. And, you know, at one point I actually talked to one of my really close friends who was around during one, you know, a relationship I was in that was very hard. And she said she took it personally when I stayed, because she had been through a similar situation, so it was hard for her to watch me stay in it, you know. So we kind of fell off for a little bit because she internalized it, and I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, you falling off for me because of that, I also needed that too, you know. I needed that because I needed to know how much it doesn't just hurt me, but it hurts my friends and it hurts others, you know. Just staying in something like that, but yeah.
Cool. Thank you for showing us.
Yeah, thank you, babe. Thank you for showing love. You know,
of course.
I want you just, while you're on the line, can you just tell us a little bit about One Love real quick? I want to give you a shout out. One Love is such an important component to what we're doing in the area.
Yeah, thank you. One Love is our movement of of all kinds of people, activists, artists, healers, vendors, farmers, families, essentially to unify the community, particularly focusing on communities of color, and just helping us to embrace our solidarity with each other and you know, our collective consciousness, because so much has been left out as far as our history, you know, our self-knowledge. So embracing all of those things and the talent that's in our community to, like, really embrace a village. So, we meet as a village festival every other month, and we're actually starting to form our People's UN, which is, like, our think tanks of, you know, the different avenues to organize around within the community, from performance to local economics, education. Getting back our perspectives and our history and education. So yeah, it's doing a lot of things with wonderful people such as yourselves. And the website is oneloveistruechange.com.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sis. We love you. We appreciate everything you do.
I love you, too. Appreciate y'all infinitely, man. Really.
All right. Thank you, baby.
All right. Good night, y'all.
All right, good night, baby.
All right, Mama. Be good.
And something else we'd like to mention, we have a play coming up it's a phenomenal piece. It's a Soundstage Theater Company production. Your host here, Ras, is going to be the director of that piece. We're actually going to be auditioning, and we're looking for people to come by and, you know, show us some love, show us what you got, what you're working with. If you could go to, let me get you that website. It's www.standstagetheater.com. Check it out. Feel free to send your resumes, and we'll say it one more time, Stand Stage Theater Company. and the play is The Bell and the Bull Dagger. And that website, again, is www.standstagetheater.com. Go in, check it out. Feel free to email your book, your resume, your headshots, whatever you want to do. But check it out. It's about to change some lives. It's a powerful piece. Again, I'd like to say thank you to my sponsors. Thank you to A Beautiful You, Yes You, a great nonprofit that's changing lives all over in Ward 7 and Ward 8, east of the river. We're doing it. We're doing it east of the river. We're making some positive changes. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with you. Thanks for listening in tonight. So You Think You Know What Women Want with Rash, your host.
Yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night make you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you say, what made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down, cause he said you was too tall for him, huh? That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could've killed you when you said your seed was growing from his
teeth. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you when I kill you myself. You played with her like a doll and put her back on the shelf. Wouldn't let her go to school and better herself. She had a baby by your ass and you ain't giving no help, uh-huh. Big time hustler, snake motherfucker. One's born every day and every day she was your sucker. How could you beat the mother of your kid? How could you tell her that you love her? Don't give a fuck if she lives. She told me she would leave you. I admit it, she did. But came back, made up a lie about you missing your kids. Sweet kisses, baby ain't even know she was your mistress. Had to deal with fist fights and phone calls from your bitches. Lost like you possessed her, telling me to mind my business. That it was her life and stay the fuck out of it. I tried and said just for him I keep a ready clip.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your...
We're back. So You Think You Know What Women Want. Abuse is not what I signed up for. And we were briefly talking to a young lady. She was sharing a little bit about how she grew up. Caller, are you still with us? You know, we have so many
questions.
I'm
still here.
Yeah. Can you share a little bit more with us about that? We have a few minutes, and then we're going to go into our community spotlight. But, you know, what you're saying is so up close and personal. You know, if you could give some women who are out there, you know, that are in abusive relationships, that are survivors of abusive relationships, something that they could hold on to tonight, you know, just to carry them on, you know, just a little bit further or inspire them to make a change.
Like I said, my stepfather, I witnessed him abuse my mother, and then he also started to abuse me. He broke my left arm. He broke my right arm. He strained the muscles in my back. I had to go to the emergency room several times. And so that's where, for me, domestic violence started in my life. And like I said, the vicious cycle never stopped. So when I got into college and out of college, I got into an abusive relationship and remained in that relationship for at least 5 to 6 years. The person verbally abused me, whether the person called me, you know, the B word, ho. It started with verbal and mental abuse. And then I can recall it progressing, and she put her hands on me, and she used to literally lock me in the house so I couldn't escape or I couldn't get out, and she would sit by the door so that I could not leave, so I wouldn't leave her. And that the only thing that she would just used to say is that, you know, I'm afraid that you're going to leave me. So she abused me because she thought it was love so that I would not leave her.
Wow. So this is so heavy. You know, it's like it's nothing we can really just put into 45 minutes or, you know what I mean, or hour. You know, we may even probably, I mean, we're going to be talking about abuse all month. And I'm going to post, we have some special guests that will be with us next week. We have a couple authors and women that will be talking with us about their stories and their experiences. But wow, Carla, this is just so heavy. My heart is heavy because somewhere right now, somebody's going through that, you know. Right now, somebody is saying, you know, how can I get out of this? They may not be listening to the show.
You know what I had to realize is that one day I just started loving me. I don't know how it happened, but one day I just started saying, you know what, I need to start loving myself for me. Not what other people think about me, not what other people have put into my head as a child, but love me for who God created me to be. And that's what I did. I started to write little notes on sticky pads and put it in the bathroom mirror. I love me. I'm worthy of being loved. I'm created in God's image, all of these different things. I didn't believe a word I was saying when I was reading them, but eventually, as I started to read them, I started to say, you know what, I love myself, and I can look at myself again, and I started to say, you know what, I can't just accept anything from anyone because I am somebody, and I am, and I know who I am, whose I am now, and who I belong to, and so I thought it was time for me to, like I said, to start loving myself, but also reaching back and teaching other young girls and women how to start loving them, because I don't think that's something that we're taught. We're not taught our worth. We're not taught positive self-esteem. We're not taught, you know, this is who you are and this is what you should accept and what you don't accept. But we're taught in especially African-American communities, we're taught to be submissive to people, whether it's a man or a female. We're taught that we don't have a voice. And so those are the things I had to release from myself so that I could start loving myself and knowing that I have a voice and it needs to be heard, and this is who I am.
Well, you definitely have a voice because just, I mean, your energy alone is really, really strong. And I think that what you're saying, it's so true. And I know that you do work. I don't know, you do work in the community. You work with women who are actually overcoming some of these obstacles. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. My organization is Beautiful You, Yes You, and it was birthed out of my own struggle, my own self-hate, my own trying to commit suicide, everything that I had gone through as a child. This Beautiful You was birthed through that. So many times as children, we don't understand why we're going through so much hurt, so much pain, so much disappointment, until you realize your call on your life and the duty that you have, not only to yourself, but your community and the people that are surrounded by and near you. So from going through my own struggles, I birthed Beautiful You, Yes You, and it was able to help other women and other girls that are in the same situation as me to realize their worth. And that's what we do. We help young girls realize their worth, and not only young girls, but also young men, because as you said in the beginning, it's not just the girls and the women who are being abused. I've witnessed young men being abused, whether it's same gender loving men or men that are abused by women. So for what we do is we teach them the power of knowing who you are, and also we teach them, you know, domestic violence techniques as far as awareness, how to get out of a domestic violence situation. Because so many times we hear our friends say, well, you need to leave. But if I leave, where am I going? Am I, can I come to your house? If I leave, what's my next step? So we can't just tell people you need to leave. You have to have people have a plan of what to do next when they go into domestic violence.
That is so true. And when you left, what was the straw? What was the thing that made you say this is it in that relationship?
The straw. I don't know what it was. If it was one particular thing, I think it was just me going through a bunch of stuff, crap, hell, all at one time. And when the police came to me and said that she was going to end up killing me, I think my eyes opened, because that is forever. I can come back from a black eye. I can come back from everything else you've done to me, but if you kill me, that's forever. And so I realized at that moment that even though I didn't love myself at that moment, I knew that my worth was somewhere to be found. Like, I could find who I am. I could find self-love. I could find self-worth. And I just went searching for that.
Right. Mello, what do you want to say to the caller here?
Well, excuse me. Okay. I was, just listening to everything that you said, and you were talking about back up a little bit when you said that that people are abusive, you know, male, female, excuse me, female, female, male, male. It doesn't seem to matter. And you said that usually, I think I said it actually earlier, that usually it's a self-esteem issue. And then when you said that what you did was to begin to tell yourself and to begin to speak to yourself and talk to yourself about who you were and leave notes around and make sure that you saw it everywhere you look, then those are the things that we definitely need to teach other people to be able to do. You were blessed for whatever reason to be able to even to know to do that. And there's so many people who don't even know that they need to begin to think positive and speak positively so that they can heal themselves. And when you were talking about that, I was thinking about how the abuser also has such a low self-esteem. It's not just the abuse, but the abuser, the person who's doing the abusing, it does not think very highly of themselves at all.
Exactly.
And they need to be just as educated so that they don't continue to find themselves attracting people who want to be abused and then therefore abuse them. It's all an attraction. And we do that just based on who we are. At the beginning of the show, I said that I didn't have any experience in that. I don't have any personal experience as far as, like, I haven't been abused, or I don't believe I've been an abuser. But my mom was abused. You know, it's unfortunate, but my mom was abused by my father. And I can remember, you know, just what she went through and what she would look like after a fight, you know, and those things stuck with me. And I just remember, because I have a brother, this is getting real personal, but because I have a brother, I always, you know, I used to really be concerned that he would grow up that way, and thank God he didn't. He's like the total opposite of that. A wonderful guy who's, took care of his kids, raised his kids. He was a single father, you know, a wonderful man. So it doesn't always have to turn out that other way, you know. But even within my own life, just having to make certain that I didn't attract someone who wanted that, or as well as me not wanting it myself, you know, it's important that you remember, you know, where you came from, so that you know who you are. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with the abuser as well as the abusee.
Exactly. I think that goes back to the saying that hurt people hurt people. And like you said, the abusers are hurt themselves. For example, my ex in particular that abused me, she was abused by her mother, and she had abandonment issues because she was adopted. So it's a long string of things that caused her to be the abuser. And she didn't even know that's what she was doing. She didn't know that she was being an abuser until I had to go back and explain to her, this is what you did to me. I forgive you, but I wanted you to let you know you hurt me and you bruised me and you caused other things to happen to me in my life. So I think
one another topic that you that you all can discuss, I guess, is the power of forgiveness. Because after you go through all of this, then you have to learn to forgive. I had to forgive my stepfather for what he did to me. Not because he asked for forgiveness, but because it was hurting me. It was killing me on the inside with me carrying that anger so long.
That's what you brought to
Bar.
Wow. This has been a really good show tonight.
It has.
It's so much, and such a vast topic, abuse. Like I said, next week we're going to be talking about abuse a little more. I'm going to be doing some posts this week, so please feel free to come to Blog Talk Radio, check up some of the archived shows, episodes we've already done. That's under the One Mic Stand. Go under there and check us out. And know that you can get through it. You know, change is possible. No matter where you are, you can start over right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just encourage you all to have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. This is your host, Rav. So You Think You Know What Women Want. Next week, Sunday and every Sunday, 8 to 9 p.m. Peace. Have a great week. God bless. Yeah.
Yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night make you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but some things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings. And you say, what made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down cause he said you was too tall for him. That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could've killed you when you said your seed was growing from his
skin. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find. Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind.
Kill you myself. You played with her like a doll and put her back on the shelf. Wouldn't let her go to school and better herself. She had a baby by your ass and you ain't give her no help, uh-huh. Big time hustler, snake motherfucker. One's born every day and every day she was your sucker. How could you beat the mother of your kid? How could you tell her that you love her? Don't give a fuck if she lives. She told me she would leave you. I admit it, she did, but came back, made up a lie about you missing your kids. Sweet kisses, baby, ain't even know she was your mistress. Had to deal with fist fights and phone calls from your bitches. Lost like you possessed her, telling me to mind my business. That it was her life, and stay the fuck out of it. I tried and said, just for him, I keep a ready clip.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is truly not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you and I want you dead. Don't know the facts, but I saw the blood pour from her head. See, I lay down beside her in the hospital bed, and about 2 hours later, doctor said she was dead. Had the nerve to show up at her mother's house the next day to come and pay your respect and help the family pray. Even knelt down on one knee and let a tear drop. And before you had a chance to get up, you heard my gun cop praying to me now. I ain't God, but I pretend. I ain't thought your life a nigga, I'ma bring it to an end. And I did, clear shots and no regrets. Never cops come and lock me under the jail. Nigga, whatever, my bitch, fuck that, my sister. You can never figure out, even if I let you live, what I love was all about. I consider her my blood and it ain't come no thicker.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind.
Take over your mind.